Here we've got another photo courtesy of the magnolia tree. Those trees are so awesome. They leave these big old pine cone-like things on the ground, but man, it's worth it. They have them all over here on the OSU campus, and it's so cool to see them. They bloom with these massive white flowers, and then they die. This picture here, I took it one day, and then the next day, this flower was wilted and brown, and there's such a short time span in which these trees are blooming, and they're so cool. They're so pretty. So magnolia trees, awesome. Check one out. I spent about 10 minutes walking around taking some photos of these white tree flowers, and it's not like I only had one day. Different flowers open at different days, so if I didn't do it on this particular day, I suppose I could have gone back the next day, but I just wanted to see what I could get out of these white magnolia flowers. At first, I just took photos of the white flowers themselves. So I went up to one tree and I saw a white flower, and it was decently high off the ground on this particular one, which is not this photo, but the first round of pictures I took. These flowers were maybe like 6 feet off the ground, and so it was hard for me to get really nice and close. And I didn't really know what I was going for. I had these pictures of some white flowers with the tree in the background, and it was good composition, but it just wasn't that interesting. It was too monochromatic. All you could see was this white flower and then a sea of green behind it. It was just kind of boring. So I played around with different angles and different lighting, and I looked at what's behind the flower. What depth of field should I use? Is there anything else that I can include besides just a white flower that might make for an interesting picture? And I even tried lining up some unopened flowers in the background so that you would focus on the white flower, and then you could kind of see like, oh, there's some unopened flowers, and give it more of a sense of time in this shot. And even though I got a few pictures like that, I didn't really like them. Some were okay, but none really stood out. So I went to a different tree, and this is all in the span of maybe 5-10 minutes. I went to a different tree and I saw this flower, this particular one here that you see in this picture, and it was closer to eye level. And then I noticed some bees, and I thought, yes, this is another chance to get my elusive bee shot. This is the white whale that I've been chasing for a long time. I want a shot of a bee near a flower, and I've never really been able to get it because it's hard to get those little guys to sit still. They're always buzzing around, and when they're walking around, it's just not as interesting. But I wanted a picture of a bee next to a flower, and I've been after that for a while, so I thought, hey, I'll give it a shot. There are some problems with that, though. In order to get a good shot of a bee, you need a really fast shutter. This particular one, the shutter is 6,400th of a second, and it's too bad that the flower obscures the wings. You could probably see the wings frozen in time, or in, I guess, frozen time, if you could look behind the flower there. But you need a super fast shutter because the bees, not only are they moving around, but their body parts, their wings, are moving around really fast too. You also need a wide aperture for a small depth of field. And you need tack sharp focus. I didn't really want the whole flower in focus. I wanted just the bee in focus. And the flower, they're super wide. They're probably like 9 inches wide. And so you can get this really nice sense of foreground and background elements if you go for a smaller depth of field. But that means you have a very slim chance of getting the bee in focus as well. If you just want the center part of the flower, the style, I believe that's what it's called, and the parts of a flower. If you want that in focus and the bee in focus and nothing else, you don't have much room to work with in terms of depth of field. So I needed to get all these elements working together. It's hard to focus on the bee because they're always moving around. So instead I focused on the style, the center part of the flower, and I shot a few photos while the bee kind of buzzed around, and I tried a few different angles and a couple different flowers. And honestly, I didn't really like it. I didn't have much hope for a good picture. I got back to my computer, and seriously, I was unimpressed with the results. I didn't really like anything. I probably took 30 pictures within this short time span of, by now, probably 10 minutes. I didn't like him. I don't know. I wasn't happy with him, except for this particular one. I'm really pleased with how this turned out. I don't know that this is the bee shot that I've always wanted because the flower obscures the wings on the bee, and I don't really like that. But from a different angle, you could say it almost looks like the bee is sort of emerging from cover. And I think the title of this is The Coast is Clear. It's almost like the bee was waiting just behind the flower, and he's like, ah, my moment is my chance is here. I'm going to jump out and get on this flower and get some pollen. So I don't know, even though it's probably 95% of the bee shot that I've always wanted to get, it's not quite there. So I'll keep trying and use what I've learned on this one. I like the composition. I like the framing. I like that you can see, the massive style of the flower, and then you see the other elements as well. I like the colors, man. Somehow it worked out. You got this really bright red and yellow of the flower that draws you in immediately. And then you start to see more elements. And the first thing you notice is that bright red center of the flower. And then you notice there's a bee going up to it to get some pollen. And then you notice the petals on the flower and the white of the flower and the green background and the other thing. So I thought it worked out really well to have the framing or the composition and framing like it is. But mostly I like that it's a profile shot of the bee. I had a few other shots, but none were this sharp and none had this profile where you can see from the side, you can see his eye and you can see the little pollen sacs on his legs. And just seeing the bee's eye draws you in so much more than if you saw the back of the bee or straight on. Which the other shots were like that, and they just weren't as interesting. I actually have another shot where the bee has emerged from the side and is closer to the flower, and you can see more of the bee, but he's kind of turned to his left, and you can't see that eye. And to me, that eye, seeing that, it just makes the whole thing. It kind of makes me get into the mind of the bee a little bit and like wonder what he's thinking about as he's going towards this flower. And what about this giant lens that's being pointed at him? The lesson here is look around and get closer to your subject. And I talked about this. This is not the first time I've talked about this on the blog, but you never know when you'll see something new if you just get a little closer to your subject. Also, this was shot at f/1.8. That might have been a little too shallow of depth of field. If I would have closed it down to maybe f/2.8 or f/3.3 or something like that, I probably would have had a better shot of getting the bee and the flower in focus. But I wanted to take that chance and shoot at f/1.8 and get that razor-thin depth of field and just hope for the best. And you know what? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I think for the most part, this one works.